Hello and welcome to Born to Run, which is a podcast we'll be posting this spring over a period of several weeks in which we meet with the candidates for governor and step away from the politics and the policy and instead get to know exactly who they are, their life story, what brought them to where they are today, and other little secrets that they might want to share. Our guest today is former Department of Health and Human Services Commissioner Mary Mayhew, who is currently a Republican candidate for governor. Welcome, Mary.
Thank you very much.
Good to have you.
Great to be here.
And I'm going to start with one question that you can handle any way you want. As you head into this governor's race, tell us the one thing about you that people might be the most surprised to learn.
Great question. I don't know, because everything I've been doing seems to have been so public over the last few years. It's hard to imagine something that isn't out there. I'm an avid gardener.
Oh.
Although I'd have to say that in the last few years, I haven't had the same pleasure of digging in the dirt as much as I would like.
But metaphors notwithstanding.
Well, right? Okay, exactly. Yes. I love to be out gardening. I had huge vegetable gardens, a greenhouse, pumpkin patch, strawberry patch, and just how therapeutic, incredibly therapeutic.
It is. Anytime you can get outside,
yes.
I find that, especially with spring coming, it's a great time to do. So you grew up in Pittsfield.
I did.
At first. You were there until you were a teenager.
Yes.
Right? Tell us a little bit about your early life.
Yeah. So Pittsfield is just a fantastic place to have grown up. One of those communities where you can walk everywhere. I was the youngest of four. My parents worked. My father worked at a manufacturing company. My mother was a nurse's aide.
But where'd your father work?
He worked at the Edwards Manufacturing Company, unfortunately. It's
one of those plants that has closed.
Mm-hmm. But that tiny little town had a lot going on. San Antonio Shoe was there. When I was growing up, there were woolen mills that I would fall asleep at night listening to the woolen mill next door.
Mm-hmm.
Parks, beautiful parks. My house was right across from one of the parks where the baseball teams played, and every spring we waited for the first baseball to come through our living room window. It was just, and we had a lovely little ski slope. So when I grew up.
Yes, was that Titcomb Mountain?
No, it's the Pittsfield Pinnacle.
Oh, the Pittsfield Pinnacle.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
And all volunteer run. My dad was active in it. And
rope toe?
Rope toe. So it was how long before the rope toe wore out your jacket and your gloves?
Oh, yeah.
And I grew up skiing there, learning how to ski there from the time I was little. And we had night skiing. Mm-hmm. It was about community. Mm-hmm. It was just such an incredible
small town.
Yes.
Life. Now,
yes.
Your mom was a nurse's aide?
She was a nurse's aide at Sebasticook Valley Hospital.
Mm-hmm. So you were from a working family.
A working family, and I'll never forget, this hasn't changed much, but the hospital never liked it when my mother thought she needed to stay at home with a sick child. So they would routinely say, just bring her up to the hospital.
Really?
And of course, then they would put me perhaps in the nurse's lounge. And at that time, they could still smoke in the nurse's lounge. So there I was with a cold, hanging out in the nurse's lounge, and they were smoking away.
That is amazing.
Things have changed.
So when you were 14, now your life changed considerably. Yeah. You went from Maine to Arkansas,
Mississippi Delta area of
Arkansas, which in some ways, Arkansas is a small rural state. Maine's a small rural state, but I suspect that what you're going to tell us is that that was a pretty stark contrast that you faced moving down there.
It was, and my mother's parents were getting older, and I think my father was tired of some of the winters, and so I remember my father saying to me, "Mary, this is up to you." Like I believed that decision was truly up to me. So yes, I thought Maine was rural until we moved to Arkansas. And we moved to a small town, Paragould, Arkansas, and it was a huge cultural difference.
Especially at 14.
At 14.
Tough age to move.
And my father was determined that we were going to live way out in the country. Now, again, remember, growing up in Pittsfield wasn't some huge urban area.
Right,
I mean,
right.
I lived next to the post office, so yeah. But when we moved to Arkansas, we lived out on a gravel road, and the school districts had not been consolidated. So the first high school that I went to was a tiny, tiny little high school. Very little in terms of athletics or activities. And I still vividly remember the first day driving up to it, and the tears were just coming down my face, mm-hmm. thinking, where am I? Mm-hmm. It was just so
now,
different.
Was it a more racially diverse high school than anything you'd seen in Maine, I wonder?
No. Unfortunately, there were still strong examples of racism in that area of Arkansas. Mm-hmm. It was not.
So it was all white,
pretty
much.
All white, yeah. Okay. Yes.
And looking at your biography, I see you were there for really only a few years, right?
So, and I went to a few different high schools because I think we actually moved right after we got down there, moved to not that far away, but ended up in a different high school district. And this high school, my father had been on the school board in Pittsfield, Maine, and had served actually on the State School Board Association. I still have some of the old letters, like when he received from Jim Longley.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, oh, yes. But he actually went to this high school that I was supposed to go to, and he came back and said, I can't send you there. But I had to go in front of this school board and talk about why I needed a foreign language, because the school did not teach foreign language. And by asserting how important getting a foreign language was, then I could go to a different high school.
Why was it important to you at that point?
Well, certainly I was focused on going to college. Mm-hmm. I felt strongly that I needed to. I'd been taking French in Maine,
I was gonna say,
right?
I assume you already spoke French.
Yeah,
at least had a working.
Well, and my dad was from Madawaska, so.
Okay.
But yes, no, I'd been taking French.
Yeah.
But of course, they didn't teach French down there; it was Spanish.
Spanish,
but
right.
Nonetheless, that allowed me to get out of that high school, but it landed me into yet another high school. I'll just speed ahead a little bit. I also was very interested and had always been interested in government and politics, and I learned about being a congressional page,
mm-hmm.
and that ultimate. And I was interested in getting out of Arkansas too. So, through connections and relationships that I developed after moving to Arkansas, I found out about finishing my high school year in Washington, D.C.
on your own.
On my own. Okay. You mean finding out about
no,
it?
No, I mean in terms of, did you move to Washington on your own?
Oh my gosh,
did you folks
yes.
come with you?
Yes, and the story is my parents, again, you're just hardworking. They didn't know anything about this program, and they literally, I was 17.
And you were the last. Your siblings had moved
on, so they might have been interested in just, okay,
go,
we're done.
Mary,
so they dropped me off in Washington, D.C., literally dropped me off. We thought that things were all sort of squared away, and I show up for what I think is my first day of work, first day of school, and the congressman's staff said, you are here a month too soon. Well, I had no money. I mean, I needed to, because part of being a page, you were paid to work in the House of Representatives, and you went to school, high school, in the morning. So I needed that check to pay my rent. So I went back to my dorm room, and I called home, and my father, in the most sarcastic tone he could have, said, do you want Daddy to come up there and fix it for you? I slammed the phone down. I went back up onto the hill and said, you have got to give me a job. I'm sure trembling in my shoes the whole time.
Yeah.
And they did.
Okay. And then you stayed there through high school.
So
tell us about your high school graduation.
Yes. So I graduated. So I finished my second semester of my high school year, my graduation of my senior year. So my high school graduation was amazing. We had ceremonies on Capitol Hill. Bob Dole was part of that ceremony. And then ultimately, we had a ceremony at the White House with President Reagan. And words can't describe what that was like. And certainly, words can't describe what it looked from my perspective to see my mother and father standing in the Rose Garden, just beaming, and my father yelling to my mother, please, please, Sue, take some photos, take some pictures. It was amazing.
Now, if I'm correct, your parents were Democrats, right?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh,
you were a Democratic household.
I was a Democrat.
Didn't matter, huh?
Democratic household.
The White House is the White House.
The White House, exactly. Yeah. And, of course, one of my friends, we were trying to figure out where the president was going to stand so that as part of the photo, we would be on either side of him, and we managed to do that.
Photobombed Reagan.
Yes.
Huh? Oh, that doesn't get much better than
right,
that.
Right with him.
So you finished high school and stayed in D.C. for some time.
No, I wish I
had.
Oh,
you went to Atlanta.
No, I thought I had escaped Arkansas. My father said, you will come back to Arkansas and go to school.
Oh. Okay.
So I returned to Arkansas. My father died shortly thereafter, when I was 19. He had lung cancer. Which was just, for me, so much of my passion for political debate and discussion was all through my conversations with him.
So he was a real role model for you.
Oh, huh? Huge. Yeah, and a leader in his community, and which obviously growing up in Pittsfield, when we moved to Arkansas, he wasn't certainly as active or as engaged. But
you were from away.
We were from
there,
away,
right,
and yeah, very different.
Yeah.
But then ultimately I did go back to
So what
Washington.
Happened when your father died? How did that change your whole family situation? What did your mom do? What did you do?
So it's just hard to even describe. First of all, when he was diagnosed with lung cancer, no one really would say what his prognosis was. And my father died right before Thanksgiving. But I can remember that day they said, oh, he'll be home tomorrow. So never really even giving us an understanding of how sick he was. It was, my mother and I were just, we were lost. Mm-hmm. We were absolutely lost. We spent a lot of time debating, can we just move back to Maine? But at that point, she had really taken on a lot of responsibility for her parents. That was, as I said, why we moved to Arkansas. But my mother and father were madly in love with one another. They had been married for 32 years, and she was heartbroken. And so for both of us, it was just this amazing person in our lives gone, and we struggled with it.
Yeah,
I came back and moved back home with her for a semester, went to school locally so that I'd be there with her, trying to figure out next steps.
And next steps brought you back to Washington for a while. We're going to move through some of this quickly, but you worked for a congressman.
So I went right back. I packed my bags, went back to D.C. and worked for the same member of Congress who had originally appointed me as a congressional page.
And eventually, you came back to Maine.
I did.
That was around 1990.
Yeah, 90. Couldn't wait to come back to Maine.
And at this point, you jumped right in to politics, if I recall. You worked with Pat McGowan in his race against Olympia Snow. You managed his campaign.
I did. I had been living in Atlanta, and Pat McGowan and the McGowan family, they were old friends from Pittsfield. And so Pat had spoken to me about his campaign and would I come back to Maine to run it. So to be able to come back and work for a family friend and to come back to Maine was it was a great opportunity.
And kind of a rough and tumble race, if I recall.
Yes, it was. Absolutely.
So as we discuss this, this is all happening under kind of the a Democratic hue, if you will. You were a Democrat at the time and your family was. Although people who know you now, and you have a very high profile here in Maine, obviously associate you with the Republican Party. What happened? When did that switch take place?
Well, and I think it's important. Yes, I grew up in a Democratic family. If my father were alive today, I doubt very much that he would be a Democrat. Mm-hmm. My father believed in personal responsibility and hard work, and my mother did as well. My father was incredibly conservative. He was very conservative socially and fiscally. So
what made him a Democrat back then?
Well, I think that the Democratic Party leaned more in that direction back then. You know, his mother.
So he was the classic blue-collar Democrat.
Democrat. I remember distinctly he loved President Nixon, some of Nixon's foreign policy objectives. but just again, my father grew up in Madawaska, Maine. His father died at a very young age, so his mother raised seven children on her own. And she did it by working multiple jobs. She believed as much in that work ethic and that commitment to work. She raised her kids that way. That's how my father raised me, raised my siblings. So I think the party has so dramatically changed. While that was my history, those are my
your
values.
Your identity went elsewhere.
My values and what I associated that party with was certainly much more the social and fiscal conservative.
So when did did you switch?
So I switched a few years ago. I switched in 2014. I should have switched a long time ago. My experiences in Maine, the work that I've been doing, I felt very distanced from the Democratic Party for a very long time.
So why didn't you switch? I mean, just not something you just don't
think partly because I did grow up with my father being a Democrat.
Okay.
I think
so you could still feel him looking over your shoulder.
I think there's a lot of emotional connection to that. And again, this was a man who shaped a lot of my early interactions with government and politics. So it was certainly a decision that I took seriously and thought long about, but had for years thought that I was much more closely aligned with the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've been in, as I said, in public life for quite some time now, but this is, if I understand, the first time you've run for elective office, is that correct?
Yes, absolutely.
And you still have a ways to go between now and the primary, but how is it different? You know, I mean, it's one thing to be a public official and in the limelight in that kind of, you know, administrative capacity. It's quite another to be out there politically. Your father ran for office, obviously, school board, but still you have to run. What have you learned so far about the whole dynamics of being a political candidate versus a government official?
Well, I think I'm a very different political candidate because of my role as DHHS commissioner. You know, I've spent the last 6.5, 7 years with much of my work and my decisions playing out in the front pages of this newspaper, on the evening news. So I certainly went into this having already spent several years publicly talking about and advocating for. But here's the other thing. Being DHHS commissioner is rarely a launching pad for a political career. Mm-hmm. I'm running because I believe so strongly in what we've done and why I want to see that continued. So as a candidate, I am very straightforward about my views. I'm not putting my finger in the wind to try to figure out what people want to hear, what's going to make them like me. But as you said, being a candidate is very different than running government, right? I was running a $3.5 billion operation with 3,600 employees. So learning about campaigning and certainly one of the bigger challenges, I think, is learning about the role that social media plays in a campaign. I've never been a huge fan of social media.
You have two sons.
I have two sons. So
who I suspect are, right?
Unfortunately, yes. Yeah. And I think as, you know, as parents, we're all struggling with that dynamic and how it has so dramatically changed. You know, for me, the challenge for kids where they 24/7 are connected, unfortunately, to social media. So now apply that to a political campaign. Mm-hmm. It's a very different role that it's playing in campaigns. And so that's been a big challenge.
Sure.
But I love campaigning. I love going into businesses and talking to individuals and employees and learning about not only their business, but their views of Maine, their what they want to achieve with their business, talking to families throughout the state. It's been amazing.
Mm-hmm. What would your father think now?
Oh, my gosh. I saw someone just the other night who knew my father and said, your dad would be so proud. I think my father would struggle with some of the negative, my 84-year-old mother, I have to continually ask her to not read the posts that are put online next to an article.
You mean the reader comments?
The reader comments, yeah. The Facebook messages. Yeah. She's getting very upset.
She takes them personally?
Yes, she is. Yeah. And she's got a ways to go to get through this campaign and this election.
As long as you don't teach her how to log on and start rebutting them,
well,
you'll be okay, right?
It's my 23-year-old son that I'm worried about doing that. So, yes.
So you have to disable all the passwords.
I'm afraid so. I'm working on that.
Well, this has gone by much faster than I had hoped. I'm sure we could keep talking, but our time is up. I do want to thank you for coming in.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
We'll see what happens between now and June. You got a rough road ahead.
Yes, it's going great, and I'm looking forward to June 12th.
Okay, Mary Mayhew, Republican candidate for governor. Thanks for coming in. Thanks for joining us for this installment of Born to Run. This podcast and others with gubernatorial candidates will be available on our website at pressherald.com.